Down, sweet home Alabama, where the sky is also blue. Hello, good evening, and welcome to Abby Daily with me, Abby Roberts. It's Tuesday, the 12th of March. It's just gone 10 to 8. Yeah, 10 to 8 in the evening, everybody. Coming a little bit later to you because, of course, I have a show between 5 and 7 on TNT. Drive time. Yes, very odd getting used to the different time. But I have to say, those 2 hours, wow, they go pretty damn fast. And it enables me to speak to very interesting people as well for a lot longer, which is great. And allows me to do my editorial, you know, my bits, my bit up front, the top of the hour, and then the second hour as well. You know, just expand a little bit on things I've been saying and things I've been noticing and all the rest of it. It's really, wow. It's like, it's honestly, it's a completely different feel to this show. It's, I don't know whether it's the time of day or the amount of time I've got or the fact that there's things like no sweeper at 8:14, you know, all the kind of slightly, well, I mean, they have to be there, obviously, for, well, there's got to be some structure for TNT, but things like there's no half-hour news now, no news at half past the hour, which is quite a relief, because otherwise it's like, right, I've been speaking to you for 10 minutes, and you're just in the middle of saying something fascinating about cultural Marxism, and I've got to go to the news headlines, which people have already heard half an hour before. So I love it. I love the freedom of it. Obviously, quite a lot of controversy surrounding TNT at the moment. Yeah, it's a... God almighty. God almighty. But let's not... I don't want to dwell on that too much, because I want to talk about the show. And oh, also I need to say to you as well, I am no longer on Telegram. I have deleted the channel and the chat. I have very good reasons for doing so. I'd started to notice a little bit of like commentary in under tweets, or people told me rather, comments under tweets about things they that people had seen within Telegram, and I'm like, hang on a minute, it's a private channel. So unless you're in there already from when it was public, then you're basically, you know, you're sort of putting things out on Twitter. And yeah, just a few, you know, trolley type things, couple of things. I'm just like, oh God, oh fucking hell. People that had gravitated from James Dellingpole's channel, have to say, that's the fucking common denominator. Bloody hell's bells. Some of the people in that fucking channel, they're fucking insane, man. They really are. We're Christians, but we're going to drag you over the coals because you've made a joke about dabbling in lesbiana. Well, I can say, this is what I say to you. Fuck you. Don't know if you noticed, I do comedy. I do comedy. I'm acerbic. I say things. They're called words. Come out of my mouth. Don't like them. Don't have to listen to them. Just don't. Just as someone said, scroll by. Scroll on by. Scroll on by. Do, 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 do. Every time I see you walking down the street and I start to cry whenever we meet. Scroll on by. Etc., etc. Yeah. Fucking hell, Dionne Warwick. Yeah, exactly. She said it. Scroll on fucking by is what I see. So that's the end of the Telegram. Unless, of course, I do create a new one. Then in which case I, yeah, then it's private from the very beginning. So you can only join if you are, invited. Or if you say, oh, can I come in, please, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, it was getting bad. I was like, oh, fucking hell. No, 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 no. And then people that were used to be in it, a lot, you know, just chit-chatting and all the rest of it. They're not in it anymore. So it was like, well, hang on a minute, what the fuck's happened? This channel's been sort of just, it's weird. So it was a difficult, I have to say, my finger did waver over the delete button. I was like, oh God, are you sure? But I think I've made the right decision. I know I have. So sorry if you're listening to this and going, because I know a few people messaged me and said, oh, I seem to be banned from your, no, you're not banned. There's just no channel. There's no Telegram. There's no Telegram channel that was there before and the chat. Because also, yeah, I do take it seriously if there are people in it who are just kind of revealing information or even screenshots. I think there was somebody, a screenshot of something. And I was like, oh, hang on a minute. Hang on a fucking minute. From one of my trolls. Yeah, so sorry, guys. That's the way the cookie fucking crumbles, Lake. You know what I mean? So anyway, back to the show today. Back to, my show earlier. So I had very interesting guests. Trevor Fitzgibbon, who is in South Carolina. Very, very interesting guy. Have to say, it was really, blimey, my head had to do some proper... I didn't do a whole lot of prep. Oh, surprise, surprise. You know, I'm a fucking lazy cow. But I surprised myself by how much I knew about American politics, by how much I knew about some of the phraseology, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Turns out, not such a dumb blonde after all. Well, I can be, obviously. Trevor, so brilliant, yeah. And he is, we were discussing all manner of things. So Biden, upcoming election, Trump, RFK. And in fact, something I didn't ask him because we spoke a lot about different stuff. But you know, when you kind of like, I had this question lurking, and then I was like, is it the right time? About RFK's climate. He seems to be all for the climate crisis, which is a little bit fucking weird. But anyway, it was so wide ranging, the chat, including something from Intelligencer, which is a publication, which is on his, if you want to follow him on Twitter, by the way, he's at Trevor Fitzgibbon. TREVOR Fitzgibbon. And it's, you know something, before I get onto this OCCRP accomplice, very interesting thing that influences basically what stories are, you know, the narrative essentially, is how very energizing it is to talk to Americans. I had forgotten how much I like America. I mean, when I say all Americans, I don't mean, obviously there are some real cunts, but there's an energy to them. I've missed that a lot. When you talk to them and go, well, you know, and blah, blah, and the sense of humor, you know, because these guys, you know, obviously there's the wokies who are like, we don't find anything you say funny because you're rude and you talk about lesbians and make fun of my blue hair and whatever. Those Americans will never find me funny. They'll just find me threatening because I'm speaking the truth. But these guys who are from what I call the old school, this guy is, I'd say, an old school liberal, old school Democrat, but also equally critical of the way the Democrats have gone. I mean, he did look a bit shocked when I brought up Jim Crow and Joe Biden and the Democrats. He was a bit like, oh, yes, I love to. But I do like doing that when I go, I think I did it. I think I mentioned it yesterday, the Ku Klux Klan. And, the Democrats, they were right in. They were right in with the fucking, the pillow case heads. They loved it. They loved it. They loved a bit of the burning crosses and all that. Yeah, very. So that's a strange one, which of course nobody ever wants to talk about when they're on the left. But this guy was very honest. He said, "I don't really think I am on the left anymore. I'm not really. I'm a leftist. I've come from the left, but I'm not. I don't know what I'd label myself now," which is very honest and absolutely you know, allowed. But like I said, it was, yeah, if you watch it, you'll see. We talked about Soros, the US State Department, directed OCCRP attacking Trump supporters as election 2024 heats up. So the George Soros and US State Department funded OCCRP, Organized Crime and Reporting Project, are once again biting at conservative Americans supporting Donald Trump's election campaign. If you've never heard of the OCCRP before, you're in for a lesson on how hit piece information operations affect your own life and livelihood. This is a very, very good article. So it's, you know, they attack people like Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Paul Manafort. I think Oliver Stone as well has come under their scrutiny. So it's all very much this narrative. And Soros, of course, George Soros, what an evil prick he is. Yeah, it's the blob. It's the guys right at the top, you know, pulling the strings, controlling the narrative. So we talked about that and talked about, well, just where this, you know, where America's kind of gone wrong, basically, effectively. Yes, it was really, like I said, I mean, I have to say, I've forgotten a lot of it because my brain is just woo, 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 full of informazione. But check it out. It should be on the tntradio.live website. I will post it as a Podbean, whatever. I'll try and find some way of getting it to you. Obviously, I'll hopefully to do clips at some stage, but it's 2 fucking hours. As I do it tomorrow morning, maybe, I don't know. I'll see, because tomorrow is quite a busy day. But you can see it in all its glory. All its damn glory. Well, YouTube, actually. Yeah, just rewind. Get onto fucking YouTube. Rewind it and watch it, because I think you'll be interested in what we talked about. Yeah, and very nice. And he was off air. He went, oh, you're a fan. She's fantastic, I heard him say. I was like, fucking hell, love. But that's why I like Americans. You see, they don't hold back. They like you, they'll tell you. If they don't, they'll keep it to themselves. Yeah, not mention her too many times. No. So the next guest was Jack David. Oh, Jack, what a smart, bright, brilliant person he is. Brilliant guy. So Jack David on the Twitter talking about India Willoughby, he of the bullying nature. I showed a clip of him. God, I've done it again. Him. It's because of the name India. It's really hard. It's like patting your head and rubbing your tummy at the same time. So India in the Celebrity Big Brother house, talking to Amanda Barry, saying, I'm a woman. Let that penetrate in. I honestly, all the language he was using, I was like, oh, you absolute fucking cunt. And then, what's her name? Oh, Rachel Johnson's in there. And all the women are deferring to him, which I think is really interesting. Even Anne fucking Widdecombe is in there, doesn't say a word. Well, nothing's changed. She said fuck all about the vaccines either. And the lockdowns. Well, I think she said something, murmured something about the lockdowns being terrible. But yeah, what a surprise. There was literally nobody in there said to this prick with the shades on, saying, I am a real woman, when clearly he's not. Like me standing in a kitchen with people going, I am Asian. I'm telling you, I'm really Asian. What? Fucking, I'll be carted off to a loony bin. And so Widdecombe, Rachel Johnson, nobody says, oh, don't be so ridiculous. Of course you're not, because you're biologically different to us. No one says that. So that's 2018 that was. So we've come, I suppose, quite far, because now we are able to, well, we should have been able to say it back then, but now, very definitely, the tide, it is a turning, because the NHS England are not going to be, the gender identity clinics are not, are going to ban puberty blockers for children. I mean, the fact that we're even saying this is so fucking absurd. Gender identity clinics, for a start, are cuckoo. Cuckoo. The whole thing's cuckoo. Should never have started. And as Jack said, and I've thought this as well, and I've discussed this on other shows or other at other times, is it is parents, it is parents, nothing to do with being right wing or Christian or anything, who are just would rather disfigure, maim their own children than that, than let them be gay, than, you know, when they're growing up. And it is, it's a fucking abomination. It's just, it really is. You know, like if you're a tomboy, and then even if you're a tomboy, it doesn't follow that you're going to grow up and be a gay woman. Or if you're, you know, you dress up, whatever, as a boy, as a kid, as a young boy, that you're going to, oh, yes, you're definitely going to be gay. I mean, it's so, it, I can't tell you, it's so retro, not, what's the word? Retrograde. It's just taking so many steps back. I don't even know. I mean, we're way back. We've gone full fucking, you know, pelt in just a ridiculous, in a dangerous direction and sad and evil. So stop abusing children, you fucking pricks. And also, as Jack said, they're doing it in Scotland. Of course they are. The fucking Scots love a bit of Stalinism. They love their Marxism. Honestly, I'm telling you now, even though I've always say no difference between left and right, well, this is all the left. This is all coming from Marx, all of it. And as I discussed with the next guest, sorry, the guest after Jack, Drew Allen, Drew, who was great. He was very, 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 not loose, lucid sounds terrible. Sounds like he wasn't meant to be lucid. He was, yeah, very, very clear, like Jack. Very, when he spoke and said his piece, it was very, very measured and crisp. And he is, I'll tell you about Drew Allen. So, I was going to say something then, wasn't I, about the end of Jack's thing leading into Drew? But anyway, my brain is slightly, do excuse me, it is slightly on the tired side. Drew Allen, author of America's Last Stand, Will You Vote to Save or Destroy America in 2024, is the VP of, sorry, is the VP, sorry, not a question, he's also the VP of Client Development at Publius PR, a premier communications firm where Allen has worked as a publicist for many of the biggest names in politics. Peter Navarro, Dr. Naomi Wolf, Dr. Ben Carson, Alan Dershowitz, and Carrie Lake, to name a few, to name a few. So that's interesting. Yeah, so we had a great, oh, honestly, we went to town. Fucking, and his podcast is really good, by the way. What he talks about Peter Navarro, who was Trump's, I think, aide? Trump's, I think so, has just been arrested, just been put in leg irons. And it's politically motivated, no question about it. So if you have a little look at that, check out the Drew, let me just see if I can find his Twitter. Before I do that, let me just carry on. So in addition to running PR campaigns for some of the most recognizable names in politics, Allen is a widely published columnist and host of the popular Drew Allen Show podcast. Allen is an in-demand political analyst who has appeared on Newsmax, GB News, boo, and on radio stations across the country, and now on Abby Roberts Drive Time, TNT. He lives in California. He lives in the Napa Valley. God bless him. So not like your usual Californian. Very, very just, sorry, no disrespect for it, because I know there are some very awake Californians, so I don't want to insult people. But I mean, he was very, we talked about Saul Alinsky, Frankfurt School. This is all the stuff from the left, all the stuff cranked up in the 60s, you know. Well, 50s Marcuse, 60s, you know, cranking up. And then Obama, and how Obama basically fucking, just ramped it all up. The ideology of Frankfurt School. And the three things I've got wrong, because I couldn't remember, it was crisis, and then reaction, solution. And I said crisis, solution, and then couldn't remember the third one. And of course, it's because I got the... order wrong, but it's problem, solution, reaction. Sorry, problem, reaction, solution. Is that right? No, problem. Fucking hell. It's complicated. Basically, it's people, they create, this is the Saul Alinsky sort of methodology, the guys all behind the Long March, the institutions, they create a crisis and then react to it and go, oh, we must, for instance, ban guns because there's been some gun running. So therefore, we're going to blame the people. This is the Fast and Furious case where the Mexican cartel, there were guns, you know, being sort of fed, you know, over the border. And then they basically, so that was the crisis. Okay, crisis was the gun running. Then the reaction was, oh my goodness, there's people sending guns over the border. Oh no, it's terrible. Oh my God, lots of people are going to die. Oh, guns are bad. Oh, you terrible people. Let's blame the let's blame the gun manufacturers. And then the solution is, guess what? No guns. That is the methodology. So yeah, it's really, really interesting. And all sorts of things, false flags come up. And actually, no, he didn't talk about false flags in this. But yeah, just it's honestly very we looked at some videos of Biden at the Biden being asked about the border crisis. Crisis, you see, crisis. They love the word crisis, border crisis. And Biden literally just goes, well, border something or other. I mean, literally, it was like he was just in cloud cuckoo land. And then we looked at the State of the Union address, where he seems to be coherent. And it's like he's being operated by somebody else. You know, there's somebody behind him. And then we saw a bit of Kamala Harris. He seemed to quite like that, Drew, my impersonation of Kamala Harris. And the... Biden's State of the Union address, and then the reaction from, I think her name's Kate Bitten or something. Bitten. She's Alabama, and her. That was it. It was on the Jon Snow. What's his name? The Daily Show. John Dudar. I've blanked his name. But anyway, John Stewart on the Daily Show, and it was him, but basically still sort of being on Biden's side, because he's kind of going, oh, he's old, but can't people be old? I mean, it was really like, it was funny because John Stewart is funny, but it was like, oh, but you're still can't bring yourself to really fucking lay into Biden because you just don't want Trump. So it's really, and then, so he was doing that stuff about Biden, and then you saw the State of Union address, and then the response was this woman, Senator in Alabama, who honestly spoke in a very high voice and said, we hear you, we see you, President Biden, enough is enough. And it's like, oh my God. And it was like, she's in her kitchen and she's speaking like this, very breathy and sort of like a very camp gay man, quite high pitched. And I did do my Margaret Thatcher impression for Drew, which I think he quite enjoyed. And I said, women who speak in very high-pitched voices are not taken seriously. You have to speak like this. So that was interesting. And I said, had she been placed there, what were they doing? Because it just destroys the credibility of the Republicans, of the GOP. So you just think, wow, okay, that's interesting. So who's in charge there? Well, it could have been anyone. Could have been Tulsi Gabbard. Could have been Vivek. What's his name? Ramaswamy? Ramaswamy! Vivek Ramaswamy. Hello, I'm President of the United States of America. So I praised him a bit. I mean, I was thinking to myself, oh, this is quite a normie convo. This is the kind of thing I might have been discussing in 2019 a little bit. But interesting times ahead, you know? But these are the right kind of people. They're the right people. They're making the right, you know, both appalled at the whole, you know, COVID vaccine thing, a big pharma. Both Trevor and Drew were as well, a very opinion. Although Trevor did say he'd had COVID and pneumonia and then hadn't been treated at all for it. He'd just been sent away. And I said, well, let's leave COVID to one side, shall we? Thinking, yeah, let's leave it to one side, fucking COVID. I said, but let's talk about pneumonia. You'd never not get treated for pneumonia. So he agreed. He said, well, yeah. And then he said, and that was, of course, then that was the reason they bought in the, and then they were obsessed with these vaccines as a kind of, rather than treating whatever it was, or treating a respiratory illness. Anyway, so there was lots, like I said, it's all in there. It's all in the Today Show. And then I had the wonderful David Curtin to round up the show. Marvellous. What a lovely man. We spoke for ages. Again, you can watch it. We talked a little bit about UK politics, Heritage Party, hate crimes, the idea of extremism. And David made a great point. He said, well, the politicians who voted for the lockdowns are extremists. And the people that voted, the people that wanted these experimental jabs being shoved in people's arms, including children, and terrorised, they are extremists. So David said they need to possibly look at the definition of extreme and the word hate. Like I said, I said to Nick Cotton, I think it's a nebulous idea, hate. And of course, the difficulty is that people like us, the so-called extremists, we're going to be lumped into categories of people that glue themselves to a road and stop an ambulance going past. Stop an ambulance from saving someone's life. Or, I don't know, stick a knife in a painting and stuff like that, which is criminal damage, right? There's got to be some sort of some separation from this stuff. Anyway, so that was the show. Even though I say to myself, it's fucking marvellous. And I shall be boning up on some more American politics because, we talked about Capitol Hill, that was it, with Drew, January the 6th as well. And I did mention Douglas Murray, who didn't believe that the election was stolen and did think that the Capitol Hill thing was a ruse by the Trumpsters. So, I mean, interesting, right? Interesting. Interesting. Yes. But like I said, David, a joy to talk to. David Curtin, we again talked about cultural Marxism, the way it's infiltrated everything, all the institutions. He's a really, really interesting, learned man without being, shall we say, patronising or saying, you know, oh, yes, when I was, reading, blah, 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 when I was at Oxford or Cambridge, blah, 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 blah. He just comes out with cold, hard facts. And it's a pleasure to speak to him. Anyway, that's it. That's the end of the pod, the Paddy Castillo. Love you loads, guys. And I hope everyone's doing okay. I know people have been feeling a bit low recently. Sending you love and God bless you all. And let's keep on keeping on. And let's not let the bastards get away with it. Okay, love you guys. And here comes the outro. And I'll see you tomorrow. 5 to 7, Johnny Woodrow, will be on in the first part of the show, 5:20 to 5:40. Then who else have I got? I know Carol McGiffin is going to be in. Oh, Hayden Appleby, Carol McGiffin, and then I'm not sure who. I can't see who the last guest is, but there will be somebody. Love you loads, guys. Okay, here comes the outro. So see you tomorrow evening, and also back with Meaningful Wednesday. All right then. Cheers. Sweet home Alabama, where the skies are so blue. Be seeing you.